continue in scripture this morning in Paul's second letter to the church in Corinth, probably his third, but we call it his second. It's the second one we have. Let's continue to listen together for God's word for us today. For we do not proclaim ourselves. We proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your slaves for Jesus' sake. For it is God who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in clay jars, so that it may be made clear that this extraordinary power belongs to God and does not come from us. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not driven to despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be made visible in our bodies. For while we live, we are always being given up to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus may be made visible in our mortal flesh. So death is at work in us, but life in you. This is the word of the Lord. Dreams and visions shattered, you're all broken inside. You don't have to stay in the shape that you're in. The potter wants to put you back together again. Oh, the potter wants to put you back together again. Potter wants to put you back together again. Blessin is her name. Blessin Geraldo. Loved and cherished in a complicated world. Beautiful and powerful, struggling and crumbling, singing and stepping, weighed down with her mother's depression and anger and her father's absence, no food in the refrigerator, violence on the streets of Baltimore that helped to raise her. Blessin is a force. Passionate, strong. Everyone needs something to hold on to, something that stitches meaning into your life, something that stitches possibility and hope and connection into each day. For Blessin, it was her step team, the Lethal Ladies. She founded it when she was in sixth grade in her charter school, the Baltimore Leadership School for Young Women. You don't have to rely on the beat, Blessin said about step. You are the beat. You create the beat. So whatever you want it to be, whatever direction you want it to go in, you can put it in that direction. It's creativity, she said. Blessin Geraldo is an artist, a survivor, a dreamer, a shero, and something she does won't please you. But if you really listen, if you really see who she is, she will inspire you. she will humble you. But the last thing she would want you to do is to lose yourself in her story, in her beat. The world's too torn up for that. You need to find your step. You need to step out. You need to live into and out of your fragments to be fully alive and to make the world a place where love can thrive. Saul was his name. Then it was Paul, because so much about him had changed. Revered and reviled, inspiring and anger-inducing, an evangelist of grace and salvation in a world with fractures and fissures in its foundations that were shaking things up and breaking things down. Paul didn't do things the way those before him had done. He carved out new pathways on that dusty road to Damascus. His blindness, his mean-spiritedness, those were the scalpel of the soul that God used to make Paul's life speak a healing truth into ours. Now, the Corinthian church has jagged edges. It has distorted ideas. Grace obscured, good news turned to the service of harmful things. But Paul's eyes could see that church. And because it was in the shards of his life that God had redeemed him, Paul knew that he had to start with their brokenness. Just listen to what he said to them again. God has shone in our hearts. The glory of God shines in our hearts in the face of Jesus Christ. But when we have this treasure, it's in clay jars, so that it may be clear that this extraordinary power belongs to God, not to us. It doesn't come from us. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed. We are perplexed, but not driven to despair. We are persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also show in our bodies. We are clay jars, you and me, clay jars with cracks and uneven edges and worn places, with places where you can see signs of repair and despair, with places made stronger because they were mended, and with places tender to the touch. Places that can only survive with gentleness and tender care. We're all clay pots, every single one of us. Every single one of us, especially those of us who try so hard to conceal the broken pieces. Those of us who try so hard to hide those parts that are broken, that are shattered, that are crumbling. We are clay pots. In case your situation has turned upside down, and all that you've accomplished is down on the ground, you don't have to stay in the shape that you're in. The potter wants to put you back together again. Oh, the potter wants to put you back together again. Living your truth can be stressful. It can be liberating. For so long, I could only bear to let the brokenness of others speak the gospel truth. My fragments were too ugly to show anybody. They were too jagged. They were too impossible to fit back together again. And that impulse to hide it away, that impulse to keep it a secret, I didn't learn that on my own. The streets I grew up in taught me that. The streets I grew up on taught me to be quiet. The streets of an idyllic small town of where certain unfortunate events were never spoken of. I grew up on the streets of everything's fine here. And it just wasn't the streets that taught me that, to keep quiet, that everything's fine, to endure, to normalize, to make sure no one could see the pieces, the broken pieces. No, it wasn't just the beautiful tree-lined streets and the well-kept yards and the gracious front porches that taught me that. It was the church. It was Scripture. It was how I was taught to succeed and to be better and to strive for perfection. You know, they say Paul said that. Strive for perfection. And so I did. And perfection didn't have problems like I had. An abusive boyfriend. The shame of sexual abuse. The secret desperation I felt when I looked out my teenage window and wondered if the world cared if I lived or died. And those fragments, those jagged edges that I couldn't imagine fitting into anything. Well, those mingled with me, the straight-A student, the state championship runner, student council president, the preacher on Youth Sunday. I was getting up every day and I was doing more than just living. I was achieving, I was succeeding, I was having a positive impact, and I was broken. Laura Levitt, Jewish feminist scholar, professor of religion at Temple University, and rape survivor, says this: "To speak out is at least for me a cry for acknowledgement. I want to be seen in my multiple identities. I'm all of these things as a survivor: frightened, angry, strong, vulnerable, and brave. Sometimes when we're strong, this seems to cancel out the fact that we're also terribly afraid. What I want is a clear sense of my own complexity. I'm afraid of having to be okay too soon. I want my friends and family to know that I hurt and that despite my strength, I am very tired." Now, Siegel Avenue Presbyterian Church in Charlotte taught me about the beautiful ways that God uses our broken pieces and the way God wanted to use mine, those fragments, those jagged edges that didn't fit together anymore. That church, that's where the mosaics of our suffering testified to me about Christ's redemption. At that church, I learned songs by heart. I cried in church. I stood up and I stepped out. And I eventually was moved by the Spirit to preach a sermon there. A sermon about a woman who was raped. And I let them know, that congregation of clay pots, that woman and I shared that story. And they gave me one of the most healing moments of my life. A moment that taught me something new about how God can work through brokenness in the church. They stood up. They shouted. They clapped their affirmation for the fragments that I shared with them. How those fragments showed them the glory of God. I wouldn't be here today without that moment. That God-infused moment. Because that moment is when I finally stood up and let God's glory show up in my life. Because whether you believe it or not, God is that powerful. God is that wonderful. God is that creative, that alive for you and for me and for the world, for all of us. If we can't live that story, if we can't let our clay pots hold God's living water for the world, then who are we really, Grace Covenant? Not only is there room for your brokenness at this table, but we are distorting the gospel if we don't proclaim Christ's redemption with our own clay pots. Who are any of you to obscure Christ's message that Jesus died and rose to speak with his broken bones, his pierced hands, his public humiliation, his false accusations against him, those who betrayed him? After all he went through to free us, who are any of us to try and conceal it, to cover up that glory of how his powerful love shimmers and testifies in our clay jars? Without your brokenness and without my brokenness, this table becomes nothing but a strange formality, an empty repetition, a relic of a moderated and languishing culture that did not trust its own capacity with God's truth. And so has become habituated to feasting on a sanitized Jesus who doesn't really have the time or patience for any of our problems. So we might not hoard the bread or guzzle the wine like the church in Corinth did, the first to the table, but our willful concealment of how Jesus is working in each of our lives is just as destructive and just as dismissive of what the world needs from us today. My brothers and sisters, the world does not need our self-righteousness. The world does not need our feigned perfection. The world needs our clay pots in all their God-infused glory to tell the story of Jesus that only we can tell. Of how the fragments of our broken lives tell the truth of God's unparalleled power to raise and redeem the lost and shattered pieces of our pain. Do you believe that God is at work in you this way? that the dead things and the languishing parts and the shards of you that you think are the ugliest and the most shattered, the most jagged and ill-fitting are the part of us that testify the loudest, the most clearly to who God really is and what it is that God can do. Do you believe that? If you do, then let this table feed your ability to share the joy of God's healing power. And if you don't, come hungry for the truth that can set you free from the shame that Jesus seeks to heal in you. For while we live, we are always being given up to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus may be made visible in our mortal flesh, so that death is at work in us, but life in you. Your fragments are beautiful. A beautiful song of redemption. Let them sing, let them dance, let them step, let them testify. You don't have to stay in the shape that you're in. The potter wants to put you back together again. Oh, the potter wants to put you back together again. You who are broken, stop that. The potter's house, you who need mending, stop that. The potter's house, give him the fragments of your broken life, my friend. Back together again. All the potter wants to put you back together again. The feast is ready. Thanks be to God.